This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in sunny Miami, Florida at Sunshine PHP. The sun is shining through the skylight in the hotel. And my guest today is my good friend, Mr. Ben Ramsey. Say hi to everybody, Ben.
Hi, everyone.
And we always, for Voices of the Elephant, we always do a little show prep with this guest before we actually turn on the mic. And I wish I had turned the recorder on when we were doing the show prep. Because, Ben, you were talking about your journey through PHP. Because when I joined the community, you were one of the thought leaders. I mean, you were out there. And I've always considered you one. But you were telling me that you don't always consider yourself that. So talk to us a little bit about your journey and what you're doing now after going through this retrospective.
Sure. I think that I never really considered myself a thought leader. I spoke at conferences and wrote articles because it gave me, like Rasmus was talking about the other day, that level, that oxytocin, right? That good feeling for contributing something. And I also felt good to be a part of something that other good friends of mine were a part of. So I always enjoyed going to conferences. Then I took kind of this, I guess, call it a hiatus. Started working at a startup, was really busy with that, mm-hmm. got kind of bogged down in all that work. It was good work, but it, you know, took me away from stuff that I really enjoyed in the community. And during that time, I also kind of noticed the community shifts, communities change over time.
Yeah.
So when I kind of started getting back in about a year and a half ago, it was a very different community than what I had remembered. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was feeling to myself, you know, I really have to up my game. I need to do more in order to kind of make a mark. Mm-hmm. And I still, again, you know, didn't really consider myself a thought leader. And what that took me into was the decision to start contributing to projects or even creating my own projects, open source projects. And one of those that came out of that was this UUID library mm-hmm. that I have. And it wasn't so much to create a UUID library as it was to go through the process of creating a library and putting it out
yeah.
and open sourcing it and learning what that felt like and learning how to interact with other developers who might contribute. So I had a really good experience with that library.
Oh, that's good.
Super simple. It generates UUIDs, version 1, version 2, version... I'm sorry, not version 2. Version 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the RFC spec. I can't remember the number of the spec off the top of my head, but and I've had some really cool contributors over the course of the last couple of years who have contributed patches to that, and I've accepted it, and we've had back and forth and discussion.
Very cool.
And we're working on version 3 of the library now, which will take it kind of one step beyond to give us the ability to give anyone the ability to plug in their own pseudo random number generators.
Oh, wow.
And to plug in other things that we didn't have a lot of dependency injection. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the library did a lot of that on its own. And so with these contributions from other people, I've been able to, what I found that's interesting is I've been able to create issues on GitHub mm-hmm. and say, I want to do this. And then someone will come in and submit a pull request for that without a lot of solicitation for people to do that.
That's cool.
Which I found really, really cool. And so those guys that are contributing to it are really great people.
Mm-hmm. And now you also wrote a method or a function for Core. You're actually
right.
A Core contributor.
So I had, before that, back in the old days when we didn't have RFCs and a little better process for accepting things.
Mm-hmm.
You could kind of write a patch and then give it to someone like Wes or Sarah and they would just put it in, right? So I had done a few of those in the past, but I think at PHP Tech in 2008, Christian Flickinger,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I pronounce his name right, his
I don't
last
either.
Name, Spoons. Spoons is his name on Twitter and most everywhere else. He had just mentioned, hey, it would be great to have this function like array column.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has to write it at some point in their career. And it's kind of a simple for each loop. You loop over an array of records from a database,
mm-hmm.
and you want to pull out a single column. So if you've got maybe a name or an age field in an associative array, you can say, give me the age field from this associative array, index it by the ID field, and mm-hmm. it gives you a single column out of that array.
Very cool.
So it was to try my hand at some core development.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because I felt like this, you know, function was super important to our needs, but what I found after contributing it is a lot of people love it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was amazed to, I run into people all the time who say, thanks for putting that in there because, you know, I needed it. And I will say, to the side of that is I wrote some, I'd never heard this word before I did this, but I wrote what's called polyfill,
mm-hmm.
where you backfill to previous versions that function.
Oh, cool.
And so there's a userland library called array column as well that you can import or include with require with Composer. And when you do that, it will give you a function that behaves exactly like the core one. So any errors that the core emits, it will also emit. Any warnings that the core one emits, it will also emit. And it passes the same tests. So both the core one will pass these tests and it will pass core's test. So I put a lot of effort in that. Again, it was an experiment,
yeah.
you know, kind of trying to see if I could do that. And it's kind of nice. It's wrapped with like a if function exists or if not function exists. So if you import it with Composer and you're on 5.4, it'll work. And then if you upgrade your PHP to 5.5, it'll still work without causing an error.
On into the new function. That is very cool. Well, now I know one of the projects that you and our mutual friend Jacques Woodcock started at a hackathon one day in Nashville was Vert PHP. Talk to us a little bit about that project, because I know that's a very important project.
I think that, when did that start? Almost 2 years ago, probably, at Hack Nashville.
Yeah.
And it was either Jacques' idea or it was Jordan Casper's idea.
Mm-hmm.
I know it wasn't my idea, so but they came to me and said, this is something we'd like to work on. And the three of us together hacked out or banged out probably 80% of the project that in one weekend.
Wow.
And then I sat on it for almost, you know, 6 to 8 months more saying, I need to write unit tests before we publish this. I need to write unit tests.
See, I thought you were just waiting on the sticker.
That's true, too. You never have a real project until you have a logo and a sticker, right?
That's true.
So we finally put it out there for all the world to see, and it's still a very slow-moving project. But we want people to work on it because we feel that this is a very important project for the PHP community.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it allows you to create local virtualized environments for PHP, very similar to the way that Python's virtual env does.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it allows you, you initialize an environment, and then it creates kind of a whole sandbox with all of the binary files and or in our case, we're wrapping binary files,
mm-hmm.
And it kind of creates this little environment for you that is separated. Then it changes your shell environment to point the path to that and to set up some other environment variables. And then whenever you're using PHP or any of the extensions or any pair packages, which no one's using anymore these days, but global composer packages, it's all in that environment. You can set it up to have all the stuff you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are working on a project that needs to be tested in multiple PHP environments with maybe different versions of Peckle extensions and so forth, you can change to the other virtual PHP environment easily.
Oh, very cool.
So you can activate it, then deactivate it, then activate the other environment, run your tests, do your development. Maybe you're a freelancer or you work for an agency and you've got multiple projects. that are all running on different versions of PHP. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them are running on the same version of PHP, but they have different versions of extensions. And sometimes those extensions actually conflict, like backwards compatibility breaks between major versions. Mm-hmm. One example, I think, was the MongoDB extension. And this was one of the use cases for us, because we were actively developing with MongoDB, and some of our systems had this older version of the extension, and the newer version of the extension actually broke some of what the older version
did. And you were able to test in both.
So we were able to test in both. So again, that was kind of an experimental thing, but I think the biggest criticism, or not criticism, but the biggest question people have for us is, well, why don't I just use a virtual machine, mm-hmm. like Vagrant or something? And sure, you can do that, and you can have multiple virtual machines, even for testing the same project. But where Jacques ran into issues, particularly on his own development laptop, is that he's running a MacBook Air. I see you are too. And so the resources there were much, it's less powerful than my MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And he couldn't run multiple virtual machines. It, like running one, even on the machine he had, would
at a second drive.
Yeah, would exactly. So this was a way to say, all right, this is going to consume very few resources. Lets you set up all these different environments, and we want to eventually get it to the point where, like with Python, you can tell pip to freeze, and it will dump to a file like every dependency you have.
Oh, nice.
Similar to the way Composer works. But even more so in that it would have, in our case, for VertPHP, it would have all of the Peckle extensions you're currently using, any global composer files that are packages, the PHP version, all the extensions that the PHP was built with and mm-hmm. compiled with. And we eventually want to get it working with PHP Brew, which is another project, not Homebrew, but right. PHP Brew. Mm-hmm. PHP Brew allows you to install multiple versions of PHP and switch back and forth between them. Hmm. So it would be a perfect complement to how VertPHP works. We want to eventually be able to freeze that environment, and then when you can save that to your project, mm-hmm. like store it in GitHub or Git. When you go to activate or create a new environment, you would use that. And if you don't currently have that environment installed with all of those extensions, then we would use PHP Brew to quickly build that environment.
That is cool. Well, I look forward to seeing that. I've been following VertPHP for quite some time. I have the sticker on my laptop, so I know you're now an official project. We need to wrap this up, okay. Mainly because they're about to serve lunch, so it's going to get real noisy in here. Before we go, same two questions I ask everybody, local user group and the URL.
Local user group is NashvillePHP, and mm-hmm. it's NashvillePHP.org.
Okay. Ben, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us. I know you had to skip a session, and the schedule here is just so great that was actually a sacrifice, and I do appreciate you making it. I want to say thank you. I have always considered you one of the thought leaders in the community, and it has been way too long in coming to get you on Voices of the Elephant. But I want to thank you for taking the time to do that. And thank you for everything that you're doing to help make the PHP community awesome.
Well, thank you. And thank you for everything you do.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.